Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the birth of your dear Son in Bethlehem, that he became one of us to redeem us, fallen sinful men, from our sins, to be the innocence who comes to restore the guilty, that you call us out of that darkness, as you did the shepherds that night, and as you lift us up with the light of the star that led the wise men to find and seek you. Father, open our hearts and minds, that we treasure the grace that your work does in our lives, to remind us that you are a redeemer and king, that we serve you in holiness and righteousness by the love of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, the Journal of American Association published an article by Dr. Paul Raskin on the stages of aging. In the article, Dr. Raskin takes his students, his medical students, through the process of all the different people he was working with, and then he shares one that he describes a case that's under his care. The patient neither speaks nor comprehends the spoken word. Sometimes she babbles incoherently for hours. She is disorientated about person, place, and time. She does, however, respond to her name. I've worked with her for the past 6 months, and she still shows no concern for her physical appearance and makes no effort to live for assistance in her own care. She must be fed and bathed and clothed by others. Because she has no teeth, her food must be pureed so that she can eat it. She soils her clothes, and she's drooling constantly. She does not walk. Her sleep pattern is erratic. Often she wakes in the middle of the night, and her screaming awakes others. Most of the time she's friendly and happy, but there are other times where she's agitated, and we don't know why. Then she wakes up, waiting for someone to comfort her. After presenting this challenging case to the medical students, he asked, "Are any of you willing to volunteer to serve this patient?" No one volunteered. Dr. Raskin was surprised that none of you are willing to serve this person, this child. He says, "It's my favorite patient, actually. I get immense pleasure from serving her and from learning from her. She has taught me the great depth of gratitude that I never knew before, of unwavering trust and unconditional love." And then Dr. Raskin begins to hand out a picture of his patient. It's his 6-month-old daughter that he's showing to the medical students. Isn't it interesting the perspective that we have when we hear about a patient? Depending on their age, the stages of age make us look at something different. And when we think about Simeon, when he is in the temple waiting for the consolation of the Lord and the work that the Lord was going to be doing because he knew that the Spirit was allowing him to see something before he died. And then he sees Mary and Joseph enter into the temple. And he doesn't know who they are. He hasn't been told what the age of the Messiah will be when he sees him. He just knows that the promise has been that when he arrives, that the Messiah will be known to him. And that's a beautiful thing. Because Mary and Joseph go because of the requirements of the law of Moses. They're there in the temple because they had already had Jesus circumcised on the 8th day, when the beginning of blood was shed for the covenant made between God and man. Those who were called to be disciples of God and hoping in the Messiah that would come, the males were separated to set apart to be holy. And now the purification time had come. It had been 40 days since Mary gave birth. And we know that Luke is trying to connect the work of the Old Testament with the work of this one who is coming to redeem the world. Because if you look at how it is set, 2 turtle doves would be sacrificed. They are sacrificed because Mary and Joseph are poor. They don't have the resources. But in order for the will of God to be set, and that the womb, the first male born of the womb, would be separated and holy to God, this was a time where there would be cleansing. And so Simeon is waiting, and the fulfillment is there. And the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he sees this babe in the hands of Mary, and he goes up, and he blesses the Lord. Think about that. It's a beautiful thing to think about being blessed by the Lord, because it is something that he does for us. We cannot come to him unless he comes to us and draws us by the Holy Spirit. Simeon understood that. His heart was awakened by the work of the Holy Spirit, and he had faith. As all those before were trusting that someday this Messiah would come, and they would see him and trust in him. We don't know much about Simeon, though. We don't know how old he was when he was given the promise or how old he was in the temple when he finally got to see the Lord. But we know that he was faithful and he was there day and night waiting for the consolation of the Lord. We know Anna was also there waiting since her husband had passed away. And she was now waiting to see the work of her Savior and to be one that would see the work of God in their hands. And it's a pretty beautiful thing to think about how God works in the lives of us Christians. Because when Simeon reasons and sees that the Lord has come, he encounters him with the words, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was devout and waiting on God for the consolation of the Holy Spirit to be upon him. And it was revealed to him that before he had seen death, he would see the Lord's Christ." And then the response, what does Simeon say to the Lord when he says and puts him in his hands? "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Do you guys remember hearing that somewhere else in your life? Do you remember hearing the Nunc Dimittis in your life? Because here's a man we don't know much about. What was his hometown? What did he do for a living? But we know that he trusted in the Lord. And remember, when you come up for the Lord's Supper, what do we say at the end? We sing a song. We'll sing it today. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for our eyes have seen thy salvation." When did you receive the Holy Spirit? When did you know that you were bought by Christ and that his work in you was fulfilled? When did you begin to trust and see the work of God for you? Remember, John the Baptist proclaimed, "I baptize you for the repentance of sins, but one that comes after me is more powerful than me, and he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." Each one of us, when we're gathered around the font, whether it be an infant or an older person who comes to faith and knowledge of the work that God has accomplished for us, it's one of the reasons why we center it in the church as a central part of our work, of our life. We walk by the baptismal font. Do you think about what God has done for you in that font? Do you think about how the Holy Spirit is given to you? Because you need it. You need it whether you're 8 days old, 40 days old, or 40 years old. You need that connection to the work of God. And in baptism, he brings you into Christ. He brings you into the death of Christ and into the resurrection of Christ. He brings you into his loving work. And his loving work never ends. Because while Jesus was being purified in the temple, he did not need purification. He was already holy, being born of the Virgin, without sin, without any need. But God shown throughout the Testament that the firstborn was holy. The firstborn male was holy to God because it was always a sign that the Messiah would come, would be the firstborn of his mother. And he would be born of a virgin, as Isaiah tells us. And it is in that powerful work that God does that he brings us together to receive. You and I, we fall short of the glory of God. We make promises to God all the time. we say we won't do that sin that comes back over and over again, that we won't gossip against somebody else, that we will speak well of others, that we will serve the Lord willingly and joyfully and with all our heart and mind. But so often, many things of the world get in the way. The tinsel and the lights take away from the glory that is shown in that star that night that was still leaving the Gentiles to come. Simeon proclaimed to Mary and Joseph that this child that they bore, this would be the one that would lift up many and bring many to ruin, and that would lift the people from where they were to knowing who they are. If John led you to repentance, then Jesus leads you to eternal life. When you know that you are baptized into Christ, and you know the promise that God made to you in the waters, that he has washed you clean, that he has made you whole, that he has made you holy, all of you who hope in his name are holy, set apart to be a saint of God, just as Simeon was and Anna was. So we see the one. My own eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before all people, a light to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. As you gather around the table this morning, as you gather around, you will see the Lord. You will see it in a wafer and in a cup. You have the form of bread and wine, but it is much more than that, because his word is proclaimed upon it and the promises sustained and given in it. Do you believe that when you receive that, your sins are forgiven, the brokenness of your sin has been restored, that it has been removed from you, every stain and blemish of you, every thought that convicts you has been removed, and in God's way, he does not remember it anymore? Satan pricks your mind about all the things in the past of your youth or in your age. But the Lord, when he has forgiven it, he no longer remembers it. It is as if you never did it, because he sees you through the eyes of the Redeemer, that infant lifted up in the hands of Simeon, that the song of Simeon has been sung in the church for over 2,000 years, so that not only Simeon, but we ourselves have seen the salvation which God has prepared before all people. You and I will see the salvation of our God, and his love for us abounds, both now and for all eternity. As we hold to that infant, where sometimes people don't want to deal with the struggles of this life because God does not offer a painless, pain-free life, but he offers to be with us through those times. Mary and Joseph were not alone when they entered the temple. They just didn't know that Simeon and Anna were waiting to be part of their life, to instill with them a word that would give them peace, and a word that Mary would ponder in her heart all the days of her life. May you ponder this beautiful gift that God has given of this child born in Bethlehem, and may you go to your brothers and sisters, family and friends, and proclaim the good news. We're saved by Christ alone, by his grace alone, by his work alone, and we find our hope in him. May our peace abound. In his name we pray. Amen.